Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Let's see if we can get YouTube to go live now. Good evening, YouTube. It's good to have you with us here tonight. Just a slightly different time than we're normally on. But the reality is, here we are. We got a lot done today. Let's see. Give me just a minute here. I got to click a couple more buttons. If you feel like we've been giving you a bunch of updates about the war, you're right. But here's the reality. It's my way of standing with Israel. And I stand with Israel very boldly and very confidently. And I don't have a problem with the whole world knowing I stand for Israel. And everybody that closes their eyes blindly on purpose, may it manifest in their flesh. May it manifest in their flesh. And I don't in any way have a mean bone in my body, but the bottom line is, if you can't see the wickedness that's going on here, then it's because you choose to on purpose close your eyes so you can't see. I mean, I know this isn't very kosher for our program, and you might turn me off, but don't turn me off. It's only going to last for about 5 seconds here. So just plug your ears for a minute, but they found a baby that had been baked to death today in an oven. Now, that's not a war. And it's like Amir's been telling us since the beginning. This isn't a war. It's not about land. It's not a fight over land. This is simply they want to annihilate the Jewish race. And that's a demon. And that demon's been running since the Philistines and the Amalekites, and that it doesn't get to win. And so we just, you know, thank God for where we're at and what we're doing. And, I'm going to get back. All right, let's do this right. The Holy Spirit is leading me back to just preaching and teaching on faith again. We've been pretty focused on things that's been happening, updates and prophecy in the Word of God, but we're 27 days into this now, and so we've pretty much got all that established where it's at, and the bottom line is, as in every case in our life, it is of absolute importance that you're living in faith and victory every day. And 1 John chapter 5 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And so my place in your life, my place on this channel, on this gathering of believers as your pastor, if that's who I am to you, is to teach faith and live faith and walk in faith and exhibit faith and see the results of faith, because God is still no wait. God has never lost any power, any hope, any focus, any nothing. God ain't lost a bit of it. And so we want to just encourage you to stand strong, be strong, and keep right on a trucking, as the old truck drivers would say. Hey, look at there. Sunday Geyser, Tracy McSwain, Richard Miller.
Love you guys.
Woo! The folks are here. Yeah, amen. Yeah, that is so evil. You're right. And, you know, the rest of the story is even worse than that.
The rest of the story is even
worse. And, you know, It's well, let's just say this. He that keepeth Israel never sleeps. Never sleeps. And he's keeping Israel. And the whole world may seem to be turned against Israel. But I'm going to tell you right now, 100 million of us that prayed for Israel on May 28th, 100 million that they could document. And so I just encourage you, do not be wary in your well-doing, because we will reap as if we do not faint. And so I want to talk about all that stuff, but of course, look at the time. The time is gone. And so welcome, everybody. We're glad to have you here. Let's get right into it. Our title for tonight is Faith to Overcome in Life's Greatest Trials. It's going to be an interesting scripture where the Holy Spirit is taking us, but go there with me, and then we're gonna have a great time tonight in God's holy word. We're going to go tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. All right. And, you know, you might be like, wow, that's a lot. But here's the reality. To overcome in life's greatest trials, there's all kinds of references in our Bible of people who overcame in life's greatest trials. And so I would, you know, you're going to enjoy this. I just come here each night when I come here, and I bring to you what it is that the Holy Spirit gives me to bring. And I don't have anything else that I'm going to ever do except give you what God's given me. I don't have an agenda. My agenda is his agenda. And it's taken a while to get to that point in life where I can actually say that and not mean it, because I've meant it my whole life, but actually make it come to pass. And so welcome, 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 everybody. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to pull this up here on my computer. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to share the screen. That's the translation we got, the right translation. All right, now, you're going to look at this and say, wow. That's interesting. Encouragement to give generously. Inside of this chapter, we're going to see the Apostle Paul talking about the church of, I'm going to have to get into it to see it. Talking about the church in Macedonia. And they gave in the very, very, very severe time and were able to be a blessing. You're going to see it. So I'm going to just stop talking and I'm going to read it, all right? Because that's where we got to go tonight. I got my pen so I can circle, highlight, and underline. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm just going to read it. And you're going to see this title, Faith to Overcome in Life's Greatest Trials. Here we go. Moreover, my brethren. Now, when you're reading the Apostle Paul, what do you do when you find a moreover or a therefore? You find out why we're going over it again, because he's going more over it than what he has. All right. So find out. But of course, you're going to go back and you're going to see the different things Paul is preaching about, and we're not going back to preach about that. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. What in the world are we talking about, Pastor? There was a huge famine. I think it's called a dearth. Later on, Paul called it. And the churches of Macedonia found in the midst of their great trial of affliction the abundance of joy, and they reached deep inside and gave a big seed financially. Well, I'm not coming to you tonight asking you for an offering. The principle that God is teaching tonight is no matter where you are, rich or poor, happy or sad, successful or failure, it doesn't matter. Reach deep within you and work the principles of faith. Work the principles of faith. Here we go. Verse number 3. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. There's another part of this principle. They went to God and they said, what are we going to do in this situation that we're in? They gave themselves to God, to Jesus, and to the will of God. And what God told them in that situation was to dig deep inside of their lives and sow a financial seed. That's not always going to be the case, but many times that will be the case. Why? Because it's a spiritual principle in all of our lives. When bad happens, to stare bad in the face and sow a seed. Where do I sow it, Pastor? You have to talk to God about that. I'm your pastor. I'm not your master. Most generally, God would have you sow in the ministry here somewhere, or some part, something that you're a part of. That's where he's going to tell you. But here's the reality. Whatever he tells you to do, do it, because as you do it, you're going to see, some things happen. Now, verse 6. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, watch, and there's a hyphen, you abound in faith, you abound in speech, you abound in knowledge, you abound in diligence, you abound in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. So the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, just gave us a list that you and I can look at to say, am I abounding in faith? Am I abounding in my speech? Am I abounding in knowledge? Am I in abundance of diligence? Am I in abundance of love? There's a grace for all of it. These people were in a dearth of poverty, literal financial poverty. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, just gave us an interesting list of places to abound. Well, how do you abound in faith? You speak to that mountain to be removed, and you rejoice like it has been removed, and you give God glory for everything in faith you've ever said. You put the blood of Jesus, the word of God, the name of Jesus on absolutely everything around you. Why? That's functioning in faith. That's abounding in faith. Abounding in speech. That doesn't mean be a blabbermouth and just flap your lips. It means watch what you're saying out of your mouth and make sure it's a statement on faith, on purpose, to accomplish a mission for God. Remember, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Abound in knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Wow. People, a lot of times, in the Pentecostals and the Charismaniacs, they want to act as if you don't need knowledge. And all you need is just faith. And just live by the Spirit. Spirit will tell you everything. You don't need any knowledge. Well, if we don't have knowledge, then you don't get a better car and a better plane and a better phone and a better computer and a better life and a better insulation in your house and better light bulbs that cost you less money. Better comes from knowledge. Go ahead.
Well, and if you don't have knowledge of faith, knowledge of how to use your faith, all of those things you have to know to utilize it.
Can you talk a little longer? I want three more drinks. Now, I see your request there, Tracy. I'm working on that inside my spirit right now. Speak not by commanded. Wait a minute. I'm not done with seven. That's why I'm having trouble. Abound in all diligence. Remember what Hebrews 11:6 says? He rewards those who diligently seek him. And I love this about God. Nobody can judge your diligence level except you and God. God told Samuel, the prophet, when he looked at Shammah, David's oldest brother, like, don't look on his appearance. He might be handsome, but don't look at it. I look at the heart. He's got a bad heart. Nobody can judge your diligence level. I can sit and look at Sister Leanne and think I know exactly, especially husbands and wife. I know exactly what you're thinking. But no, you don't. And don't ever make that statement again about your husband or wife. You don't know what they're thinking. You might have a good idea what they're thinking, but who in the world ever gave you permission to know another man's thoughts? I can tell you some of the times what Sister Leanne's going to do, because we think alike, we talk alike, we say the same words mostly. And the more years you're together, the more you become that way. But don't ever get to that point where I know what you... No. You just went off on a place that you're not allowed to go in God. So don't judge another man's diligence. Don't let anybody judge your diligence. Quit worrying about anybody else. Just do what you got to do in God. You and God get serious about your life and being diligent. He rewards those who diligently serve him. Now, and seek him. Your diligence might have to be 10 hours a day of the word of God being put in your heart. If you fall short of that, you're not going to have what God wants you to have. And somebody else's diligence might be 2 hours a day of the word. And then 5 hours a day of giving and blessing to somebody else. Don't judge somebody else's diligence. You give yourself to God, because here's the reality. When you stand before him, he's not going to ask you how I served him. He's going to ask you how you served him. Did you get up in the middle of the night when he woke you up and wanted to talk, or did you keep sleeping? Amen, Pastor. Did he tell you to pray in tongues for an hour and you just prayed for 5 minutes? Wait a minute. Let's get serious about it. I can't judge you on that. I remember one time somebody said, Brother Jesse, how many hours a day do you pray? He said, I'll never tell you how many hours a day I pray. Because some of you will fall right off your chair and you'll fall down on the floor and never be able to get back up, because you'll say that is just too few hours in a day. And others of you will fall out of your chair and never be able to get back up, because you'll say, my goodness sakes alive, I could never do that. See, that's comparison. You can't compare yourself to nobody, because nobody else on the face of this earth knows what God has told you. I love Dr. Barclay's story that he tells when Oral Roberts made the statement about if I don't get this money, God said he's taking me out of here. When he was talking about the money for Oral Roberts or whatever it was. I don't know. And, of course, there's a whole lot of pastors that immediately is like, what did he just say? And so they began to call Dr. Barclay, and Dr. Barclay was like, I don't know what to tell you. And so he said, I went to prayer, and I said, Lord, and he's like, were you in the room when I told him what to say? And he's like, no, sir. He said, then you should probably leave it alone, because it's none of your business. And he's like, well, that's an easy enough answer. So everybody that called him and said, hey, Pastor, what about this? He just said to them, were you in the room when God told Dr. Roberts what to say? No. Well, then you probably better not worry about it, because if there's something wrong with what Oral said, Oral's got to pay the price for it, not you. He's still the great man of God he always was. If you heard the rest of what he talked about that day, it was faith, it was hope, it was love, it was miracles. And the program ended with, something good is going to happen to you. Because that's how Dr. Roberts' program always ended. Abound in your love. Abound in your love. And I'm going to turn right now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Go there with me. And let's talk about an abundance of love. This is what Paul told them. No, this is what the Holy Spirit spoke through the Apostle Paul to these believers in the middle of a great trial of poverty, literal financial poverty, because of a famine in the land, because it was dry. Look at this. He said, abound in love. 1 Corinthians 13, and let's start with verse 1. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Don't stop. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. There's a whole lot of people that have said to Brother Copeland, well, if you took that jet and sold it, you'd feed a lot more poor people. And the problem with them stupid people is they don't know how many poor people Brother Copeland feeds every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm preaching pretty good, whether you're staring or not. And if you're not staring, go ahead and stare. If I give my body to be burned out of self-righteousness and vainglory, I'm just going to die at the stake in horrible pain and get to heaven. And God's going to say, what are you doing here? And you're going to say, well, I was burned at the stake. And he's going to say, well, you probably felt a lot of pain, didn't you? Some of you are like, man, Pastor, where are you at tonight? All right. Verse 4. Love suffers long. It doesn't mean you're sick long. It doesn't mean you put up with abuse from somebody long. That's not the suffering that it's talking about. It's talking about love believes, hopes, dreams, has faith, and is willing to do it for a long time. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. There was a period in my life where I lived by the confession every day. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, stop it, and endures all things. Love never fails. I'm passing this test with flying colors. Why? Because it was a test. It was a test. And it was a test of love. It was a test of enduring. It was a test of loving people that didn't love me. It was a test of loving people and saying, I love you, but you only get this close to me from now on. Right there. Stay right there. That's love. Paul said to have an abundance of love. Let's get back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, Tracy has asked me if I would pray, the month of October being the breast cancer month and domestic violence month. And I think that that matches abounding in love. And so let's just pray right now. I saw the comment and I just been letting it be in my spirit. Well, let's pray for this for a minute. Father, I thank you that you heal. According to Psalm 103, you said, I heal every disease. I declare that every woman that's dealing with breast cancer has a dream, has a vision in the nighttime. Deep sleep falls upon them, and they don't take to heart the doctor's words. They take to heart your word that says, by your stripes, I am healed. May their doctor's words wake them up to, wait a minute, where's God? I heard somebody got healed once, I saw a healing evangelist. May they see it and may they know it. And may the medical profession quit telling people they got cancer when they don't, just so they can get their money for the invasive chemotherapy. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I declare that anyone of you that are hearing my voice right now or in the future, that no matter what they've said to you about breast cancer, in the mighty name of Jesus, you are healed. Lift your hands right now and be healed in Jesus' name. The same, if you're born again, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, from hell, it's living on the inside of you. And that spirit will give you life. Romans 8:11. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. May women look themselves in the mirror and say it. I'm not taking chemotherapy. I'm not having a mastectomy. I am going to trust God, and I receive my healing right now in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, I know there's more, probably many people saying, Pastor, what are you telling people to do? I'm telling you better trust God first. Because if they can get you to cut that part of your body off, they'll get you to dig something else out. Yeah. And Jesus promised to heal. Maybe you're fighting it, and you need somebody to be in agreement with you. This place is a healing room, anointed by God, spoken by God, that we would be a healing room. And I speak healing into your life right now. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. We got a lot of great videos on to teach about healing. We've got people that's actually been healed of some pretty amazing things. One was raised from the dead because during COVID, actually there was a bunch of them raised from the dead during COVID. And so we just speak that. Now, over domestic violence. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will not put up with domestic violence. In the name of Jesus, if you're the man being violent, may your arms shrivel up. If you're the woman being violent, may your arms shrivel up. No, I'm not joking. May you shake in terror in the night season for your violence against another human. May your eyes be opened in your sleep to show you exactly what you're doing to other people. Now, and may you turn from your wicked ways and chase after our God, who abundantly pardons. See, Paul said, abound in love. I just loved you greatly because I said, may your arms shrivel up. That's violence. People are going to buy, oh, it's your tongue because you can't stop being mean to them. Well, then may your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth. Pastor, I never heard anybody pray these kind of prayers. That's because you were around weak, milquetoast pastors. It's called the spirit of might. It's one of the seven spirits of God. Paul looked at the witch and said, may your eyes be dim and you not see for a season, for 4 months, because they were willingly blind and they were keeping everybody around them bound by their witchcraft. I don't play games. Wake up and do what's right. Wake up and do what's right. I thank you, Father, that this group of believers is not just somebody that'll just put up with this stuff and have a parade and walk down the street and wave a sign. No, we go right to the core and say, stop it. Be healed. Be delivered from this wicked violence. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I like to tell the story about violence because I wish I'd have known the people, but anyways. Dr. Winston tells the story of a lady in his church who her husband, before they got married, gave her chocolate, roses, and did many wonderful things. The moment they got married, he became violent and began to beat her. And one day she said to God, "I'm not putting up with this anymore. You're my father, protect me." She was laying in bed beside him when she prayed it. In a matter of minutes, he jumps up out of bed, screaming, kneels down beside her on the bed and said, I'm sorry, I don't know why I've been so mean and abusive. I'm sorry, I'll never do it again." And she's like, "What in the world?" She said, he said, "God just gave me a dream and said, if I ever lay another hand on you, that I will go straight to hell." Apologize to her. And for the rest of his life, he was a wonderful husband to her. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, I pray over October. This is the month of pastor appreciation. May pastors be appreciated all over this nation and around the world. May people come to the understanding of exactly how valuable their pastor is to them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Now, I'm back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. I remember hearing Dr. Summerall pray one time. Actually, I've studied a lot of his men. Never met the man, never was in a service where he was, but I've studied a whole lot of his messages. And I love the faith and the power, unashamed boldness that he had as a leader in the kingdom. And, he just said it straight. Do you want to go to heaven? No. Then go to hell. Pastor, that's just mean. No, that's the reality. That's someone who's not playing a game. Patty cake, baker's man, baking a cake as good as we can. No, it's not the church. That's not God. This is a serious place that we live in. If you've not seen these times and the headlines every day, and you don't realize the sincerity of where we're at, man, get your eyes open. This thing is about finished at any moment right now. The trumpet could blow and we'd be gone at any moment. Well, Pastor, but Damascus is still a city. I know, but we're well past the last point at midnight when in the middle of the night when people aren't expecting it. That's going to happen. I know. Everybody was expecting it on October 8th when everything went to pieces and after everything went to pieces on October 7th there in Israel. Everybody was expecting it the next day and the next day. But we're 20 days out now. And people are like, well, whatever. It's all Israel's fault. No. You're giving yourself over to the wickedness and the confusion of this day and the spirit of Jezebel saying, oh, just follow me. These people brutally attack citizens and civilians for no other reason than to kill them. That's murder. And they're murderous thugs. We've just watched the whole world and the public opinion in the news media's mouth turn against Israel. The whole world's not against Israel. All of America's not against Israel. Most of us are for Israel. We're just being silent. This life could be over at any moment. No, before we're finished with this program, the trumpet could blow right now. It is literally this serious. It is literally this serious. Listen, we're in 2 Corinthians 8:7 talking about faith to overcome in life's greatest trials. Brother Amir posted today, for the first time in 23 days, they're dancing and rejoicing all over Israel. Why? A young lady who was captured, who is one of the military, right?
Yes.
One of the military that was captured was released today.
Not released, rescued.
Oh, rescued.
Yeah, they didn't release her.
Oh. So some terrorists got to go be before God and be judged. Hallelujah. If you're reprobate, your eternity is the damnation of hell. Make sure you keep your love hot for God.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. What a night this is. What a night this is. You know, I can tell that a minute ago when I was praying and I said, may your hand shrivel up, that some of you said, Pastor, you just cursed somebody. No, I did exactly what I saw the Apostle Paul do. And what the prophet did when, who was it that came against Josiah? The old prophet came against Josiah. The old prophet died, or maybe the king. I'm messing the story all up. We'll go get it. Well, see, the judgment of God came upon people. But not if you don't say it. We just all lovey-dovey, huggy-huggy, kissy-kissy, touchy-touchy. No, that's not God. There's an eternity coming. It lasts forever. Stop playing with your eternity. And stand in faith. Abound in faith. Abound in faith-filled words. Abound in your knowledge of the word of God. Abound in your diligence of seeking and chasing him. Abound in your love for your brothers and sisters and for those outside so you reach out to them. And abound in grace, the manifested presence and power of God working through you to accomplish your mission on this earth, whatever that might be. Woo! All right, first let's go to 2 Corinthians 8, see if we can move on. I speak not by commandment, this is Paul, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Now, many people have falsely interpreted this, but if you go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it's the Apostle Paul gives us a little more understanding. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Look at verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus had to force himself to become a man and to suffer temptation and trials and test and overcome so that Paul could write in Hebrews, he was the faithful high priest that never sinned. Jesus' greatest challenge was to be a man. Our greatest challenge is to be divine. Jesus had to cause himself to be a man. You and I, by the exceedingly great and precious promises, must cause ourselves to live in the divinity of Almighty God. Pastor, you're just, what did you feed him tonight, Sister Leanne?
I didn't. Maybe that's the problem.
She didn't feed me. No, see, what do we have to get to here? We have to come to the understanding that Jesus suffered the word poverty is not what Jesus suffered as you and I know it, because the kings brought them an abundance of money. The kings brought a king's treasure. If you notice, what a night. This is amazing. If you notice in the lineage of Jesus, matter of fact, let's go there. Matthew chapter 1. The lineage of Jesus. So Matthew 1 verses 1, and you go clear down to verse 5. Salmon begat, that's not salmon. Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. Rahab's in the line. Rahab was the harlot. Boaz begat Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by the wife of Uriah. And all of the rest of those names are all kings. And then I think it's Zerubbabel. Josiah and Jeconiah. All right? All of the rest of these guys are heirs of being a king. Joseph was heir of being a king. When they brought their gifts from the east, they brought a king's gift to a king. Joseph was the descendant of a king as a carpenter because he didn't know he was a king. And he didn't give birth to Jesus, but Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is the King of Kings. Woo! Back to 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich for your sakes, he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. He became a servant so he could become a king, so he could make you and I kings and priests unto God. Revelation chapter 1 verses 5 and 6. Revelation chapter 5. It's all through Ephesians and Galatians and Colossians and Philippians. What is it talking about? It's talking about we have been made kings and priests to our God. See, it's so amazing. If you only knew what today was for us, and then this title and this message that's coming out, this is absolutely amazing. As you abound in everything. These people were in severe poverty because there was a famine. It was a drought. Abound in faith, abound in speech, abound in knowledge, abound in diligence. And abound in your love for us, and abound in the grace that makes it all come together. Verse 10. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. Verse 12, if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he doesn't have. Wait, if you take this chapter as only meaning giving money, then whatever you desire to do a year ago, to sow money toward something, toward a ministry, toward do something, then do it and complete the doing of it. But Paul said, remember that it's not about what you don't have. It's about what you do have that matters. Do something from what you do have. But it might not be so a financial seed. It might be you doing something in your community that you keep saying, I ought to go do that. And then when you don't go do it, your inner man says, well, we don't have to believe the words out of their mouth because they said they ought to go do it and they didn't go do it. Therefore, they don't mean what they say. And faith doesn't work. Woo! Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And some of us have just said, well, if Jesus wants me to do it, he'll come down and tell me. No, you already had the inkling, the desire, the understanding, the thought, man, I ought to go do that. Pastor, do you know what you're saying? Oh, yeah. You know why? Because I know what I've said I'm going to do. And didn't get done yet. And if your heart's condemning you because it can't believe you, because you say one thing and do another, your faith's not working. Look it. Let's just stop right here at 2 Corinthians 8, 9, 10, and 11. And let's run on over here right now to Romans chapter 10. Look at this. Let's go to verse 6. Romans 10, 6. Did I say 10 or 11?
10.
Here we go. Hold on. I got to have a drink of coffee. Watch this. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Not say in your heart, who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Jesus has already ascended. He's already come out of hell. Verse 8. What does the righteousness of faith say? If you want to do it, when you open up your Bible, hold on, I got to get caught up here. I'm ahead of myself. Romans chapter 10 in my Bible, I put the righteousness of faith speaks, and then I drew a line down to what does it say, and I drew a line back up to the righteousness of faith. Why? Because the righteousness of faith is speaking here. What does the righteousness of faith speak? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, don't stop there, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Just remember, your mouth and your heart got to match. Remember what Jesus said? It's better to not make a vow than to make one and not keep it. That's Old Testament. That's New Testament. Jesus said, let your yea be yea, and let your nay be nay. This became real serious to me today. We were studying as we were going. Let's go do this. Mark chapter 11. Make sure you're writing these references down, because you want to be able to go to this. It'd be really good if we had a verse list tonight. Watch this. Mark 11:20. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up from the root. Saw the fig tree dried up from the root. And Peter, remembering, said to him, oh, Jesus, Master, wouldst thou look upon this tree? I really don't think that's how Peter said it. But that's what Mark wrote. The fig tree you cursed has withered away. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, this is having diligence in your speech. And what Paul said, be diligent in your speech, be diligent in faith. This is your speech. Whoever says to the mountain, not to God, say it to the mountain. Doubt where? In his heart. You got to get your mouth and your heart to match. But when you believe those things that you say, you will have what you say. All right, verse 23. Assuredly, I say to you. So that's Jesus saying to us. The next one is, whoever says to the mountain, that's us, be removed, doesn't doubt, but believes what he says, that's you and I saying again, he will have whatever he says. That's you and I saying. Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray. So asking is saying. Believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, that's you talking again. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. Jesus right here says that when you say to that mountain, you got to have worked your faith to the degree that she's like, mountain, move. And that mountain's gone. I thank you, Lord, that mountain is moved. Maybe you got a deal of debt in your life. I declare my debts are paid in full. My house is paid off. My car is paid off. My credit cards are paid off. I don't know anybody anything but to love them. And I not only speak it out of my mouth, but I believe it in my heart. And I thank you, Father, that it's done. Therefore, it is done, and I receive the miracle right now in my life. See, it's not just saying words. There's a lot of people that are saying the words that Brother Copeland said, but they've not gone and got the revelation of the words that they're saying. You memorize. And never get the revelation. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he said. Surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, believes what. See, what you can do, you're cramming like you did for
nothing.
Yeah, you're cramming like you did for history or geography or something. No, get the revelation of it. Because when you get the revelation, you don't have to worry about the memorization. Because the revelation will take you to the understanding of the verse. And whether or not you get absolutely every word, every dot, jot, every comma, every hyphen, every apostrophe, you will know what it says and you will experience what it says. I love the story Dr. Winston tells of the man who was in prison in Joliet prison in Illinois, which is one of the worst. And he began to hear Dr. Winston's words. And he got out of prison. He got born again, filled with the Spirit, listened to what they taught him. And he got out and he said, he came and he testified one Wednesday night. It was pretty cool because we were watching that night when it happened. And the man stands up at the end. They gave people a chance to ask a question. He said, I'd like to testify. And Dr. Winston's like, okay. He said, I was in prison for X number of years in Joliet. Dr. Winston says, oh my. The man got out and started a business, and it prospered. And he started another one, and it prospered. And then he started a daycare, and it prospered. And he saw a building, and it prospered. And he said, I did everything you said, but I can't even read or write. And he said, I not only drive Mercedes and Lexuses, I have one of those kajuzi things on my back porch. Couldn't even say the word right. But what did he learn? He learned by listening to the man of faith that whatever I say to this mountain to be removed and be cast into the sea, and I do not doubt in my heart, I know that God wants to bless me that way, it's going to come to pass in my life. See, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says, let me get to that verse. But as you abound in everything, abound in faith. I'm going to tell you, until Jesus comes, you're going to work on this every day. When you look back at your past, you're going to say, man, I've grown in faith. I've grown in my speech. I've grown in my knowledge. I've grown in my diligence. I've grown in my love for other peoples. I have grown in abounding in the grace of God in my life. Because every one of us, if we apply ourselves, can actually say we've grown.
Yeah.
Now, if you're one of those that comes and say, well, you know, I don't know. I heard lots of people preach this before, Pastor. And you know, you do a good job preaching, and I like to hear you preach, but it's probably just not for me. Well, you got to get over that. You got to get over that, because the purpose of preaching is not listening. The purpose of preaching is not so somebody will listen. The purpose of preaching is not so I can hear my lips flap because I like to preach. Although I like to preach, it's who I'm called to be. The purpose of preaching is so that your life will change and my life will change. Jesus came out, said, I come, that the blind eyes will be opened. Those in prison will be free. Those that are bound will be loosed. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the gospel to the poor, that the poor don't have to be poor no more. The purpose of preaching is that your life will change. I know I'm such an amazing preacher, you can't just help but listen to me. You see, that's not what it's about. That's not what this is about at all. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he impoverished his own life, taking on the form of a human when he was God and could do anything. Can you imagine? I know we said it. Maybe we didn't say it. Maybe we didn't say it yesterday. Did I say this online about Jesus? Yeah, we said it yesterday, Sunday at the morning program about Jesus schooling rabbis when his mom and dad lost him at 12 years old. What did he say? He's 12. He said, didn't you know I was supposed to be about my father's business? Well, I got a grandson that's 11 and one that's 13. And I tell you what, you can't see either of them standing in the temple teaching a rabbi. But here's Jesus, the Son of God, who throughout his life, I mean, I love how Andrew Womack says it. Jesus actually had to have a diaper on. And Jesus actually had to have his life be trained by his mom and dad. He had to listen. He had to learn. He had to submit. And even though he was 12 and the rabbis were like, whoa, look at this. You didn't see Jesus again for 18 years. If you feel like you're way behind, don't. Paul was 17 years before he started preaching. Man, Pastor, I felt like since I heard you, I should be right out doing. Well, you should be out doing. Blessing your neighbor across the street, next door to you. Driving down through your city, speaking life over your city, over every apartment complex. Speaking life over this program. Speaking life over the community of faith. Just because you're not in a public eye where somebody can see you doing something doesn't mean that there's nothing for you to do. The only way you ever get to that other position is that you do it here when nobody's watching. David didn't get to kill Goliath because he was David and God said, David's going to kill that giant. David got to kill that giant because David first, all by himself where nobody saw it, killed a coyote, probably killed a wolf, then he killed the lion, the mountain lion, and then the bear. He probably killed a lot of snakes with his stick. What was he doing? He was learning how to defeat the enemy and overcome and win. Think about what it is you're facing right now in your life as a trial or as a test. Do you ask God to change it, or do you point your finger at that thing and say, I command you, get underneath my feet right now in Jesus' name. Pastor, I've been saying it, and it's not come to pass. Well, wait a minute. Don't make that it's not coming to pass statement. Your first statement is, I've been saying it. That's faith. It's not coming to pass. That's not faith, man. Because Jesus said, whoever says to that mountain, it will be done. The challenge is you're learning how to use those verses from the Word of God, speaking them out of your mouth, building your spiritual muscles up so that when you speak in the realm of the Spirit, the devil listens and everything around you submits to that whole process. Woo! Pastor, I just want it to come to pass now. I know. So do I. If you've been around me very long at all, you know I live by, I dwell in, I speak almost every single day that every time the enemy attacks you, you should be right back in that enemy's face and say, I crush you under my foot by the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the holy word of Almighty God. And I declare right now in Jesus' name that I am triumphant. God has given me power over all the power of the enemy. Enemy, you are crushed by Jesus before the foundation of the world. And I exercise your crushment today in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And it's not long. And all of a sudden, the words out of your mouth begin to force the enemy to be defeated underneath your feet. Not because of who you are, but because of who God has become on the inside of you. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul said, We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. But wait a minute. Jesus already defeated him. Why are we wrestling with him? Because we've got to wrestle with ourselves to get our flesh to shut up and the word to become greater than the flesh and to speak to that mountain until mountains move right now on us in the mighty name of Jesus. Look at this, 13. I'm in Ephesians 6, 12 and 13.
Thank you, Tracy, for doing verses.
Yes, thank you.
So appreciate that.
I love it. Philip Hines, too.
Hot Jackson.
wait. I think it's so amazing because you're like, I literally said the other day, I'm like, really, Siri? And Siri's like, yes. I'm like, Siri, shut up. And Siri said, that's not very nice. God didn't invite you to talk. You guys do a good job. Thank you. I'm in Ephesians 6, 13. Look at this. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Every time you speak the name of Jesus, the word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, your prayer language from heaven, the confessions we give you every day right here in this program, every time you speak them, you're exercising your muscles. You're building greater spiritual strength. But the first time you speak them, you might see it in your mind's eye. I'm going to speak and that demon's going to fall off its throne and I am going to be overpowered. And then you speak and it's like, did anything actually happen? But wait, Jesus said that when you speak to the mountain, it'll be removed. So act as if the mountain moved and the devil is crushed underneath your feet. The devil's crushed under your feet. I speak over you, Tracy. Your eyes see.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 13, it says, Jesus said, I've given you eyes that see and ears that hear. Claim it every day, and anything besides those words, rebuke it and cast it down, because it's a fiery dart that we have to even have anything that caused us to be able to see. Sister Leanne and I was coming in tonight, and you got this hill we come down over here, and as you come down the hill on this street, you can see if you went straight on that street, you could go clear out of town and way up to the top of the hill by the radio towers. And there's a water tower up there. Well, that's probably, 6 miles? 5 miles at least? It's 5 or 6 miles. And we're coming down the hill, and I said, hey, can you see them flashing blue lights out there? I can see it clear as day. 5 miles away. Well, then, what are you wearing them for, Pastor? Because I accepted the fiery dart as something that happens when you get old? I don't know. I never saw this as a fiery dart till the other day. I saw this as I'm fighting for health in my eyes because, you know, the devil's fighting me. Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that just made my knee have no problem, no matter what the pain was saying. The same Jesus is in my body looking through my eyes.
Amen.
And my pupils, what do you call them? Go in and out. What do you call that? Go in and out.
Dilate,
yeah. I don't have weak dilating pupils. Mine all function properly.
Yeah.
I need to tell y'all another story.
All right. Tell us all another story.
I haven't told this story in quite a while. Way back the first time God was talking to me about starting a trucking business, I went to work for somebody else. When God gives you an assignment to do something, get alone with him and pray until you get the whole plan. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen. It
would have been about 2003, 2004. I got a job working for Davy Tree Service. Maybe you've seen him. You don't see him in this state because there's no trees. But you see him in most every state where there are trees. And they go down the line, the power line, and clear the trees out of the power line. I got a job for them. And that job was not paying good at all. So then one day a man drove up and he said to me and my brother and our friend, there's three tree trimmers right there that all have a decent haircut, and you all look like you're presentable people. Would you like a real job? And they had just come and told us that they just needed warm bodies in the seat, and they didn't care if they knew how to work or not. And we're like, well, you know, all right, you don't appreciate a real person. So we were all saying, yeah, we want a job. He's like, all right, show up here on Monday. He paid us about $4 more an hour immediately to start. So I'm working on this guy's job now, and we did some work, man. We were cutting trees and laying sod and mowing grass and digging stuff. I mean, it was awesome. And I'm down on the backside of Bishop Airport in Flint, Michigan, and they're clearing all the fence around the airport. This is right after 9/11. And, you know, so you got to get everything cleared away from the fence on an airport so everybody can see. And I got this little apple tree, and it's about this big around. It's a little thing. It's got some vines. And I cut it off all the way through that way. It didn't tip over. I cut it off all the way back this way, and it didn't tip over. And I cut it off back like that, and it didn't tip over. I'm like, come on, you crazy tree, tip over. And I went like that, and when I did, I jerked that blade right into my knee on my right leg. Well, it went through the safety pants and into my Carhartts, and it cut my knee. And got 27 stitches, and whatever you do when you got a power tool in your hand, don't throw a fit. Just pay attention. You got something that's dangerous, you know. Anyways, when that healed, I've always been a runner. And I got a scar right there. And, of course, there was 27 stitches down inside my leg. So I whenever I tried to run after that, I could usually jog about half a mile. And then I started getting pain. And it just like that knee would just lock up. And you just wouldn't be able to jog. And so I never went farther than about half a mile away from the house. I'd just go half mile out and back, half mile out and back. But I like to jog about 5 miles at a time. And so I'm jogging, and God's like, you've got to just take and go do it. I'm like, what? He said, I want you to go all the way down by Sunrise, all the way up the damn road, all the way across the state road and come back. I'm like, that's 5 miles. He's like, are you talking to God or what? Are you listening to me? I'm God. I'm telling you to do it. It's going to be okay. I'm like, what about my leg? He said, run through the pain. I'm like, what's that mean? He said, I want you to run through the pain and speak to it in Jesus' name. It'll go away. It's not real. Your leg is healed. I'm like, are you serious? You know, me talking to God. Are you serious? You know, you're talking to God. That's a dumb thing to say. So I went out to this place where there was this big, long hill. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to run, I'm going to run downhill. You know, your human mind. And you could run downhill there for about almost 2 miles downhill. You got a little bit of flat, and then you went up for about 2 miles. And then you run back down, and then you run back up. And, you know, it's good. It's good training. It's good physical. It's good for your heart. Good for you. But, of course, at about a half a mile, that pain started. But I could hear him saying, run through the pains. You're healed. Just declare, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed. And the more the pain came, the faster I ran. Of course, I'm running downhill. You know, I don't have too big a challenge. I'm running downhill so you could run fast. So I'm sprinting. And do you know about 75 yards into that sprint, that pain left and it's never come back? Why? It was nothing more than a fiery dart trying to get me to hobble around and act like an invalid when I was 40, what was I, 45 years old, act like an invalid when I was 45 years old. It's a fiery dart. Three days ago, I looked at these glasses, these magnifiers, and said, fiery dart. My eyes see clearly. Mm-hmm. Want to say it? I have 20/20 vision. I don't know how they measure hearing, but I have 20/20 hearing. I don't know how you measure it, but I have Jesus. Yeah. Jesus said, said to the disciples, you have eyes that see and ears that hear. No ringing. No buzzing, no hissing, perfect eyes that see, and I have perfect ears that hear. Wait, if you got joint pain, grab a hold of your wrists or your elbows, your knees, whatever it is, and just say right now, I have perfect joints, there's no pain. There's no pain. There's no pain. There's no pain. I come up the stairs tonight. My left knee is trying to hit me with that pain. I'm like, it's a fiery dart. I don't have no pain. I didn't do nothing to my leg. Do you know what I did? I skipped a step. I went up two at a time. I'm like, shut up, you foul, fiery dart. I am healthy, healed, and whole, and I have perfect vision and perfect sight to be able to see when I read and be able to see way down that road. And I will not be the weak because the blood was applied. Jesus, God Almighty, healed every one of the children of Israel on the night of the first Passover. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms, they went out with silver and gold, they plundered Egypt, and there was not one feeble one amongst them. Not one. God gave this to me so I could give him glory. Nope, God didn't give it to you so you give him glory. God can't give you what is not inside of him. He don't have any sickness in you. He only has health. That's all he can give you. He don't have poor sight or poor strength. Or feebleness of mind, he can only give you a sound mind and a good understanding because that's all that's within him. That's why Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come to give you life and life more abundant, except Sister Mary, Beth, and Mabel, who I want to see them suffer. See, it doesn't make sense when you say it that way. That religious spirit wants you to believe it. I rebuke that religious spirit in the name of Jesus. We overcome by the blood of a lamb and by the word of my testimony. I just take the blood of lamb to that religious spirit now, and I take the word of my testimony. You are a foul liar. Jesus came to bring life and life more abundantly to every person in the sound of my voice, in their spirit, in their soul, and in their body, in their mind, their will, and in their emotion, in their money, in their marriage, in their ministry, and in their mouth. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak life and life more abundantly. Wait, let's do one more thing. And by the way, by the blood of Jesus, I don't need those on. We speak over tonight and tomorrow night weather situations. Let there be weather. It keeps all this foul debauchery from happening in the next day. By the blood of Jesus, we cancel every curse that's being spoken over our lives, over our families, over our children, over our grandchildren, over our ministry, over the message that God's put in your heart. By the blood of Jesus, we cancel it now. By the blood of Jesus, we add our faith to every prayer warrior that's speaking right now. And we declare the spirit of Jezebel is broken over every ministry leader that's conquering and that is changing this world in the ministry that God's given them. And we declare that all the lying mouths will be stopped wherever they may be. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Man, you guys are using the wrong words. I was talking about my eyes dilating.
This baby is a coming. So funny. You guys are so fun. Cancer's dilated. Oh, my.
For those of you that can't see the live chat in YouTube, that, you know, that's it's the 2023 ministry times that happened right there in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Do not be discouraged. All you're doing is learning to hear his voice. You're learning to find these words on the page. And you're learning to write down the verses that are for you and then use them like they are the greatest weapon that has ever been given. Think about right now, you got the aircraft carrier, Gerald R. Ford, and a couple other ones over there. They're filled with missiles. They're filled with ammunition. There's so much ammunition that's ready to go ashore into Israel. If those nations understood how much ammunition was on those aircraft carriers, then people would run and hide in the desert. They would dig a hole and bury themselves. Those aircraft carrier wings and, you know, their whole fleet, they can wipe out Lebanon, Jordan, Syria, and all of Gaza in a matter of a couple hours, that whole place would be just toast. But you know what's greater than all of that? You and I, using Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That means this. You take your words and you say, the blood of Jesus is working in my life right now. It's working in my marriage. It's working in my money. It's working in my mouth. It's working in my ministry. It's working in my family. It's working in my children. It's working in my city. It's working on my street. It's working on my neighbors. You take the blood of Jesus and you start using it like the weapon that it is, and everything has to bow to the blood of Jesus. Sister Leanne and I had to go buy some parts for the semi today. All right, shouldn't have had to buy them. And as soon as we realized we had to buy them, the first thing we said is seven times and double for the same. Every penny that you're causing me to have to spend right now and buying and purchasing and driving and getting back here, every penny of that, you're being charged right now. You're guilty of trying to steal the money from God. And it's called Proverbs chapter 6 says, when the thief is caught stealing, he must pay it back seven times. Isaiah 61 says, for your shame, you will have double honor and you will rejoice in your portion. Joel chapter 2 says, my people shall never be put to shame. And I got out of my pickup down here to come up here, start the program. And I said, and I just rejoice, Father, that seven times and double for the shame of this thing today, I receive it done immediately in my life right now. And I could hear the enemy say, don't use the blood. In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus has redeemed me. It's reconciled me. It's bought me back. It has purged my life from everything. I am covered in, washed in, filled with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
We overcome by the blood of a lamb. And we use our tongue and we mix it by the word of our testimony. And all you're doing right now is learning that all this stuff that doesn't match the blessing of God and the power of God is just a fiery dart. Force it to submit underneath of your foot and don't ever let it up. Just listen. I heard one man say, you might have to start dancing. He said, the first time I danced, I made sure nobody was at home. I closed the shades and the drapes. Excuse me. I moved the coffee table. Because he said, somebody taught me that dance meant to jump up, twirl around, and land. And he said, I didn't want anybody to get hurt. But he said, after about three jumps, twirl around, land, I was having a good time. But he said, I ain't never going to do it where anybody could ever see that. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
Don't be devil-focused. Be blood of Jesus-focused. Don't be enemy-focused. Be victory focused. Don't be lack focused. Be abundance focused. Don't be sickness focused. Be health focused. And that,
amen.
And that's going to depend on what comes out of your mouth in Jesus' mighty name. Now, faith to overcome in life's greatest trials. Jesus could come tonight. Some people wanting to come because they want to escape. Other people are saying, well, if you come, I know I'm going to go, but I really want to get some more people saved. Every day Jesus doesn't come gives us more opportunity to cause people to be able to come to the things of God in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, raise your hands. I've been learning to do this. Raise your hands. Let me do this. Let's get this off that share screen. I really like having the Bible right up there. You know, whether you guys like it, it makes it real easy for me to see. I like it. Whether or not you like it. You don't see me anyway. It's just a little corner of me up there. Like, is there a talking head here? What is it? Put your hands up. And let's pray. Receive this blessing. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, as they reach their hand toward the screen and I reach my hand toward the screen, you do the work of the point of contact. And I declare that right now, contact and transmission happens. as they reach their hand out to you, and I reach my hand out to you, the anointing flows in their lives right now in Jesus' mighty name. Maybe you're wanting to pray in the spirit. Just reach your hand up. And I put my hand up. You just reach right out and touch it right on the screen. In the mighty name of Jesus. I saw one person one time take their phone and just stick it right on their head. So it was like my hand was on their head. I saw it. All it is an act of faith. In the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be healed in your body, and never again talk about the sickness or disease, but talk about the wonderful, blessed Holy Spirit who now lives on the inside of you, and he is greater than any sickness or disease or epidemic. In the name of Jesus, I speak wholeness and restoration into your life and into your family, in Jesus' mighty name. Say this with me. Hold your hands up and just say, Jesus, restore the years.
Restore the years.
That the enemy has tried to steal in my life.
That the enemy has tried to steal in my life.
So that nobody can even tell.
So that nobody can even tell.
That anything was ever stolen.
That anything was ever stolen.
Just as if I never sinned.
Just as if I never sinned.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, as soon as I said that, I heard people say, well, Pastor, I didn't sin. I know, but there's some who have. You may not have sinned. But justification. Just as if I never sinned is how deep Jesus restores your life. And he does it willingly. In Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Amen. Let's receive the communion elements right now together. For those of you that are new, we receive communion almost every time we come here. And I say almost because there have been a few times when we haven't, but it's been very few. Here's how we do it around here. We read the verses. These are the verses that Jesus came and taught Paul when he was in the wilderness. And, you know, it says New King James Version up there, but I'm going to just put with it paraphrase. I keep wanting to do this, and I forget, because it's not the exact King James, because we paraphrase it. It makes it easier for us to understand. We're not changing the Word of God. We're just making it personally applicable. And then as we read it, you'll see. And then when we get finished, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. That way, everybody's right with God and can receive the communion elements. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, Jesus accepts you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's what this is all about. After that, we'll give you a couple of minutes of instruction, and then we'll receive the elements together. That's our process. That's how we do it. That's what God gave us as an assignment, and we do it faithfully. Read these verses out loud in your home, in Jesus' mighty name. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, Jesus' redemptive work, until he comes. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John 4:17-18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that comes with it. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, if you find you're in fear in your life, it doesn't mean you're not a Christian. What it says there is you haven't been made perfect in God's love. Just simply say, if you're already a believer, simply say, I received the deliverance from fear. I've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of the sound mind. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. You people have said receiving Jesus, receiving Christ, being born again. All of those things match this prayer. If you've already prayed it, glory be to God. We're glad you're one of us. But pray it again. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So as we pray this, everybody right there at your house, say it out loud. Say it like it's the first time. Mean it from the depths of your heart. Here we go. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and just say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire, so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name
I pray.
Amen. And amen. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome, family of God. Hallelujah. We're glad to have you here. Now, here's our salvation instruction. This is what just happened. Because you might say, Pastor, what's going on? Well, your darkness just turned to light. Your fear just turned to faith. You are made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. It just happened right there, right then, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. All of that just happened to you right now. And you might say, well, Pastor, how can all of that happen? I don't even understand that. I know. Here's how it happened. Because God's got more for you than you can ever imagine. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says he wants to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. The most important thing is that you just say, Jesus, I receive you into my life every day. When you wake up in the morning, remember, he's living in here. And you just say, thank you, Holy Spirit. You are my teacher. You're living in me today. Lead me throughout this day to walk with you. And God will lead you, and you will walk with him. Stop at lunch and thank him. Stop at supper and thank him. And when you lay down in your bed at night, just simply say, Jesus, how did I do today? And then listen. Because it won't be long, and you'll hear his voice as he speaks to you. And he'll say, well done. Or he might say, you had a bad attitude today. He's going to say both things. If you had a bad attitude, he's going to remind you. But he'll never judge you, and he'll never be mean. He'll never condemn you in any sense of the word, ever. There's the verses for it. John 3:16, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, Romans 8:14 through 17. Snap a picture, a screenshot of that right there. And you'll have this as a statement. And those are the verses. There's my email address. There's our website. And it'll all be right there on that screenshot for you. And you'll be able to find us. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell on everything that we do so you can be connected to us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's receive our communion elements. I'm sure I got some here. Let's receive our communion element today. Ready? Hold your elements up. Let's bless them together. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions. There's nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supply in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer, I receive the bread your body broken now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you that you are always the same. Thank you. Now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged, my roads are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's receive. The fruit of the vine. And now let's sing a song about the blood. That's what we do regularly here. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gave me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood gives me strength from day to day, it will never Jesus power. You know, people ask me regularly, why do we sing like that, Pastor? Well, you know, it says that they went out and they sang a hymn as they went out. And besides that, the 92nd lady will come on and start talking. Jesus, my name. Anyways, well, all right, Sister Phyllis is back. Sister Phyllis, let's read Ephesians chapter number, what is going on here? Ephesians chapter
3.
Yeah, let's do Ephesians chapter 3, and let's do our closing verses we would normally read there. Go ahead.
Okay. Verse 14 through 21. Okay. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through the spirit of the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever.
Amen. I love it. Exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. And I'm going to add my verses to it. That's Job chapter 33. Remember this. Tonight, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon you, while you're slumbering on your bed, I declare deep sleep falls upon you. I declare that in your life, you will see dreams and visions and have great revelation of exactly what God wants for your life. It's the last day's language of the Holy Spirit on your young men and your young women, on your old men and on your old women. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, says the Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Keep our foot from going the wrong way. Conceal pride from us. So we not only don't go down to the pit, but so we can get to those pages on the book that was written about us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, that's all we got for tonight. We'll see you again tomorrow morning right here at 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern. And we're going to be standing in faith with Israel, praying over the church, praying over you. And tomorrow is the 31st, so we're going to be speaking the blood of Jesus over every one of you tonight. When you go to sleep tonight, cover everyone in your family in the blood. Make sure that you speak that every curse is sent back against whoever might send it, and that nothing, not a single curse can ever have any effect on you that's spoken in this, in your community, and that your life, there's no witchcraft against the covenant. By the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen and amen. Till we see you again, remember this, we love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Good night. God bless you, Blog Talk Radio. We declare over you, wherever you may be around this world, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.